everything in the house. They didn't have money to pay for a lot of things. Dad would send one of the kids up to get Mom's scrub bucket or Mom's mop or broom or something. So it was
it was kind of
a hard situation for everybody to not to get along. I'm not saying that, but it was just a different situation. But they showed their love through the church because of our family home evening, and then we all knew we were supposed to be to church on Sunday. Well, we went to church at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then if it was a fast day, we went at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and had a fast meeting. And then we would go back for conjoint meeting, what they called, at 7 o'clock at night. But in between, the farmers and the people in the valley and everybody else had to go home and milk their cows and do their chores, so they had to give them time to do that. And when it was a fast day, we just had 10 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night. And we knew we were supposed to be to church. And we went. And as I got older, my friends would come to our ward because they liked our ward. My dad was very concerned about the youth, and I was just reading his patriarchal blessing that said that he was to be concerned about the youth. And I guess our chorus was probably the first one in the church established in the church.
The Leader Krantz chorus?
The Leader Krantz chorus was probably about the first one in the church. And the 14th Ward came up with one right after, but I think we were about the first. And so it was, he catered to the young people. We had road shows, and I rode a lot of the road shows. A lot of the kids played in the road shows, and he did everything possible to keep the young people close to home. We had a dance every single Friday night. And a program. Well, a program would come first. And when we did get the recreation hall or the cultural hall built, they built that first. And then they would have all their meetings in there. And they'd have the program. We always had a program. It was a talent show, or it was a one-act play or something else. And then we would, then everybody would just stand up and move back out of the way while they moved all the chairs back out, and then they had a dance and poured cornmeal on the floor. Do you remember cornmeal? They used to use cornmeal to wax the floor. They'd get it as slippery as they could get it. But you danced with everybody. You danced with the young people and the old people and all your friends. And my friends came from all over everywhere to beat our ward.
Wow. Your dad would focus, you said, specifically on the youth. Did you feel that you, as a young person, could go and talk to your dad? That he was somebody you could sit down?
I remember my fourth grade teacher. Well, anyway, she told us that there wasn't any Santa Claus. And I thought that was really strange, because I believe in Santa Claus. So I went home and I said to my dad, I said, she told us today that there isn't any Santa Claus. So he took me in the living room, closed the doors, and got out that pamphlet, that article, that, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, do you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And read it to me. And he said, there will always be a Santa Claus. There will always be fairies. course, I always believed him anyway. And yeah, he was very good to talk to, but we didn't have lots of money, and when we needed things, we actually had, sometimes we couldn't see him. He'd go to work early or go late, you know, would stay out late helping other people. So we'd have to write down on a sheet of paper what we needed and how much we needed and what we needed it for, and then he would put the money out there so that we would have it to take to school or whatever it was. And and during the Depression, of course, that came along about the same time as they're trying to build the meeting house. Mm-hmm. And here, people were flocking into the ward. And remember the sand hills all up above us? There were no homes built there then. There was one home. Milligan's home was up there. There was one home. And it was a lovely brick home. But he would be out. He would take waste lumber and stuff from the lumber yard. Or maybe even bought lumber, I'm not sure. But he was up there time after time after time, helping them to put up a shanty of any kind that they could keep just a shelter of any kind, you know. And I remember one time, though, he said, this one family doesn't have any bed. And we had a real nice couch in our front room. That it was a leather couch, and it folded up into a bed. In fact, when I was 5 years old, I had rheumatic fever, and they put me out on that bed to stay down. Uncle Earl said, "No, she's got to stay down now for 8 weeks," and I thought. I didn't know how long that was, but it sounded like it was going to be a long time.
It is a long time.
But anyway, I don't think I did very much. I was dancing around in the bed most of the time. But anyway, Dad says, "Well, I think we ought to take this couch up this to those people and give them a bed." And Mother didn't want him to do it. I think Grandpa had given it to them for a wedding present. Oh. I'm not really sure about that, but...
Grandpa Belknap or Harris?
Harris, I think. And I think that... anyway, she just really didn't want to do it. But he did. He took it and took it up there. And one day we went up there to ride around and see how people were doing. And here was it sitting outside in the rain.
Oh, no.
So that was kind of a sad thing. But